Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's just gone 19 after 3 and it's a time for Nature's Way, where we discuss and learn about insects, animals, fauna, flora, plants and trees. And today, I'm particularly excited about talking to Karen Oerdendal, who is the Chief Operating Officer for the Zululand Conservation Trust. Now, they have a rhino orphanage at Magoni Private Game Reserve. It's under the Fool Ulan Conservation Trust, and it rehabilitates rhino calves that have been orphaned. This is one of those times where my background in television makes me, I miss it a bit, because imagine seeing those beautiful little calves. But they've been orphaned, sadly, by poaching. And the aim is to give them the care and strength they need to be released back into the wild. Karen, thanks so much for joining us on the Home Run. Can you walk me through the moment you first met one of the tiny rhino orphans? What do you remember most vividly from that encounter?
Thank you so much. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold.
That sounds like it. But thanks for talking to us.
No problem. I think the moment that was most memorable for me was when I was involved in the capture of one of the first orphans. It was quite a unique situation because we had one adult rhino that had sort of adopted, but had a second calf walking with her that was the same age as her own calf. Obviously the calf, mother was shot and he ended up wandering onto another female. And so it was very challenging for us because we now had to work out which calf is the orphaned calf. Rhinos wouldn't ordinarily adopt another calf and care for it. If anything, she would try and reject that calf and push it away so she can only look after her own calf. And obviously having the same sex and same age calf, it was very difficult for us to try and establish which animal we need to now try and capture so we can rescue the calf and
care for it. How did you do that? How did you work out who the mother was?
Well, we spent an enormous amount of time. It took a couple of days. We didn't want to make a decision too quickly because making that mistake means we'd end up with two orphans. So we just spent a lot of time in the field stalking the female and observing her and her calf and the interactions between the two babies so that we could establish which one was the one that she was kicking away or trying to move away from. But even with that, it is still challenging because as soon as they move around a little bit, you've mixed them up again. Luck was on our side that day, and a cattle egret had pooped on the one baby, and it had a white stripe on its side, and that was the only identification that we could then utilize to figure out which animal we need to catch. So with stars aligning, we were able to capture that calf and rescue it.
Karen, I'm laughing because you're saying with luck and with stars aligning, you get pooped on. It's a very different world world that we humans inhabit. Every calf, I would imagine, has its own personality. What's one that surprised you, and what did that teach you about caring for rhinos?
So they are very, very individual. Each animal has got its own personality, and we see that, especially when we have a new calf come in, and we'd like to bond it with a group that is a similar age, and we mix up the boys and girls. And often we will find specific individuals that just don't tolerate one another. And there's lots of pushing and shoving in the pens because they don't want to be, with a specific calf because they just don't like them. So like humans, there's certain people we just don't like as much as others. And so we normally observe them quite carefully to work out who likes who. And then obviously they get to choose and we accommodate them based on what their needs are, because it's obviously also very stressful for them when they're around other animals that they wouldn't ordinarily want to be. But they are very individual. The way they take to the bottle, some calves we've been able to get onto a bottle quite successfully, and other calves we've had to feed in a bucket because you know, for some or other reason, those calves just didn't want to take to a bottle. So our care is very individual to each animal, and we obviously invest an enormous amount of time with them to get them, you know, to the point where they're strong enough where we can release them.
And do you land up releasing all of the calves, or are there sometimes calves that you don't release? And what goes through your mind? I would imagine it's quite emotional when you see that calf taking its first step back into the wilds.
Yes, so it's bittersweet, I think. The bitter part is having to let go, because you've obviously spent a lot of time with
you
these animals.
Like a mom.
And yes, I have a lot of children. And the sweet part is knowing that we were successful in getting that calf to a point where it can now be wild, form part of a wild rhino population, and breed and live a wild life. So all of the animals at the facility are released, and they do go back into the wild. We don't keep any of the animals at the facility, nor do they go to any semi-captive environment. We have a calf at the facility at the moment that is blind. It was born blind, we think. And so his name is Lazulo. With him, we're a little bit concerned because we're unsure as to his future. He's still quite young. He's only about 11 months at the moment. And so his rehabilitation, it will be a lot more challenging, because finding an environment where we can release a blind rhino and make sure that it can be wild and completely safe out there is an issue. So I would say, yes, we release all of them, except we've got a very unique case at the moment, and we're trying to work out what we can do. We've got a bit of time on our hands. We are going to look at considering some veterinary procedures to see if we could get some of that sight back. But because he's still young, we haven't gone down that route either. We need him to grow a bit more before we can consider those options.
Karen, one last question. If there was a message that you want people to hear about what these rhino orphans face and what can be done, what would that message be?
Create awareness, I think, is the most important part of my job. Is making people aware of the issue. I think the rhino poaching crisis that we are still facing is not in the press anymore. No one's hearing about it anymore, and I feel like a lot of the public think the problem's gone away, but it certainly hasn't. If anything, we are seeing another increase in poaching, and so it's critical for us, for the world to be aware of this, and for everyone to say this is not okay. We can't allow our rhino populations or rhinos to go extinct in our lifetime. And creating public awareness is obviously very important. It's also important for us to allow people to come and see what we do, so that they can support those who are able to donate and support our cause. It's important. We don't have any government support. We have to fundraise for the care of these animals, which is very challenging in the current economic climate. So, if anyone out there wants to put up their hand and give us support, they can look us up on our website. It's www.zululandconservationtrust.org. Alternatively, they can also come and volunteer with us. We've got an incredible volunteer program, and that allow people to come. It's a labor of love. They get to work with some of these animals, and they also get to understand the conservation challenges we face.
Karen, thank you for doing your bit on public awareness and looking after these animals, and for sharing your story with us. A reminder for anyone who wants further information or to volunteer, that website is www.zululandconservationtrust.org. And that's Karen Oordendaal, the Chief Operating Officer for the Zululand Conservation Trust.